This episode is brought to you by Groove Washer, the best record cleaners and protective sleeves for your vinyl collection. Ask for the Groove Washer from your local shop or go to groovewasher.com. Discount code VinylGuide10. And now, on with the show.
Well, hey everyone, it's Nate. Welcome to episode 365 of The Vinyl Guide, the podcast for record collectors and music nerds, and I hope everyone's doing fantastic. Big special shout out to our friends over in America. I know it's Turkey Day week this week. Hope you all did quite well and getting ready to brave the crowds on Record Store Day, Black Friday. Lots of stuff being released into the independent record shops this November 25th, including lots of cassettes. I mean, this year I got a ton of press releases from bands and record labels that are putting out cassettes, not just for Black Friday, but all points in between. And I'll be 100% honest, I've never been a huge cassette guy. I pretty much went straight from records to CDs back in the day. Of course, I had some cassettes. I played them in my 82 Toyota Corolla. They worked fantastic, but I never got to be a big collector of cassettes. So in recent years, when the cassette revivals start to come back around, I got some questions. You know, what is this all about? Why are cassettes back? How popular are they? Where are they being manufactured? What's the supply chain like? It struck me a little odd, so I figured I'd do a little bit of follow-up, and for that, I went straight to the source. Jean-Luc Renaud is on the show today. He's the CEO for Recording the Masters, or RTM. Now, RTM makes magnetic tape, and that includes like the 2-inch recording tape that recording studios use, quarter-inch tape for reel-to-reel machines, and of course, cassette tapes, which we dig in deep today. How long do cassette tapes last? Is there a shortage of magnetic tape? How do you care for a cassette tape? What do you do if you find a box of cassettes under a bed that hadn't been played in decades? And can they go straight into the player, or is there something you got to do with them? Even who's currently making cassette players? Lots of questions and lots of info we cover on today's show, and I think it'll be quite helpful, and maybe it'll even inspire you to grab some of those cassettes alongside your vinyl this Record Store Day, Black Friday. Real quick, since it is the holidays, I'm going to ask each of you to do me a big favor. Leave me a positive review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast for the Vinyl Guide Show. Only takes a minute. Just log in, give us 5 out of 5 or 10 out of 10 stars. Type in some nice words. Encourage people to join and to listen to the Vinyl Guide. That is hugely appreciated. Very helpful and doesn't cost a damn thing. And that could be your Christmas gift to me. A positive review from you on iTunes is all I need. And maybe a bit of spiked eggnog. So that's your mission. Leave the Vinyl Guide podcast a positive review on iTunes. And then bing, bang, job done. Thank you. All right, let's talk to Jean-Luc Renaud, CEO of Recording the Masters, on the return of the cassette tape. Ladies and gentlemen, this week on The Vinyl Guide, we have Jean-Luc Renaud, who is the CEO of Recording the Masters. And he and I are going to be talking about cassettes. Now, Jean-Luc, thank you for coming on the show. The recent revival of the cassette, I think, has caught a lot of people off guard. What do you credit the recent cassette revival to?
Okay, so the cassette is part, I think, of a larger phenomenon. And by the way, the vinyl disc is as well part of this. Mm-hmm. It's the return of analog, tangible, physical things. So of course, the cassette and the vinyl disc are physical media. But look of what happens with the board games. With what happens with the photography, with there are things that where just the analog format and the format is just more simple to use and more emotional. It's about emotion as well. So you know what, I believe for quite a long time now that the more our world will go digital, which is of course very convenient and performing very well for many, many instances, the more analog in general will have values, because it's about something else. It's not against digital, it's something else. It's complementary, and we need that emotion. We need that pleasure to put a vinyl disc or a cassette into a player and enjoy music in a totally different way. That's what it is about.
And Recording the Masters is a relatively new company, as I understand. Is that correct?
The brand Recording the Masters is relatively new. It was created in 2015. At that time, I was the guy to acquire the old Piral manufacturing facility in Avranches, so close to the Mont Saint-Michel in France, west side of France. And Piral has 35, 40 years old of history doing magnetic tapes. And even before that time, Piral with Pirolac was the inventor of the lacquer discs for vinyl. Mm. And so there is a big history in audio at this manufacturing site. And even with magnetic tapes, this is a place where you find the old BASF. We are the heritage of BASF magnetic tapes manufacturing tools and equipments and formulas, chemical formulas, you know. So yes, we are new with the brand, but we are very old with our history and our record.
That, let's talk a little bit about the recent history of that, because with vinyl, as you know, there were many years where vinyl records were not being manufactured. The pressing plants started closing down. They sold off the record pressing equipment for scrap. Did the cassette industry have a similar arc, I presume?
Yeah, similar. I mean, this industry went down from... it was at the time the mass market, like the vinyl disc before. But when CD came in, there was a pretty steep decline of that industry. If you think about it 30 years ago, there was like more than 100 million of cassette manufactured every month in the world. That was the mass market. And it revolutionized the way of recording. I mean, you could do it yourself. You mentioned in our earlier discussions the portability of the cassette format. But yes, I mean, we had a tool to record ourselves, do our own mixtape. And that was a mass market. It's no longer a mass market. I mean, we are building now several 10,000 units per month, not millions, not 100 millions. So it's it's a totally different market today. But you know what? It's about also quality, very high quality. It's a niche market where only there is room for high quality.
Good. And the tapes that are created today, like I know for Record Store Day, there are several tapes. There's an Alanis Morissette tape coming out, one from My Morning Jacket. These tapes, if they were developed, not in 2022, but in 1988, whatever peak cassettes were, would there be much of a difference between 1988 and 2022?
Not so much. I mean, I think the quality, if you find... let's say the right tape, the right supply, the right recording tools, then of course not. I mean, it will be very similar. But like I said before, in any mass market, you have the best and the worst that are together. And you could be very surprised with some old records. Some records are, let's say, very poor quality, in fact, and some are very good quality. You have all kinds of level of quality. Today, what we do, and you mentioned the Morning the Jacket, this is only high quality, the best we can, the best quality in cassette format.
Right. Yeah. And when you create these cassettes, and I don't know how many of the My Morning Jacket or Alanis Morissette are coming out on Record Store Day. Do you know the quantity?
I don't know the exact numbers, but it's several thousands, I think.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And for those recordings, do you start with, do you get an analog master from the record label? Do you start with a digital master? What starts the process of the cassette duplication?
Most of the time it's a digital file. In wave format, that's the most common part. But some of them are doing the whole analog recording session. I mean, from, like you said, analog master tape, which, by the way, we produced as well. I mean, the cassette tape we are making today in our plant is the daughter of our pro tapes that we deliver every day for studios, recording studios.
Okay, yeah. So another part of your business is for like the 2-inch tapes or the reel-to-reels and things like that, yeah?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Excellent. And the material that goes into creating that tape, has that formula changed in the last several decades?
We have improved our formulas. A formula itself is need to comply to also our manufacturing process. And this manufacturing process has been evolving over the years. So yes, our formula use different raw material, probably than way before, and different recipe. But this is more optimization and adjustment rather than changing the whole formula. The sound at the end, when we have a 911 or 900 formula that is known for many, many years, should have the same audio feel, so same audio performance, same audio signature, I would say.
Yes. Now, you'd be the perfect guy to ask this question to, because I've heard that around early 1970s, there was a major change in magnetic tape formula, which is why tapes from before 1970 don't need to be baked like tapes newer than 1970. Is that correct?
I mean, the bake thing is something we don't do anymore. I mean, yes, this is what I heard as well, but I was just too young for knowing exactly the truth behind this baking thing.
Me too. I was in preschool, so it's not my fault. But I understand the story that I've heard from more than one recording engineer is that the oil embargo of the early 70s forced the magnetic tape manufacturers to switch materials, and they could no longer use whale oil in the formula. So
I mean, the PET film that we are using are still fossil energy based, but this has changed over the years. Yes, for sure.
Yes.
And our formula, as I said, is using different ingredients. Yes. That are less, less solvent consuming and things like that. So yes, at the end of the day, you get a different formula, but
yeah,
that's a normal thing.
And another rumor that I've heard, and it doesn't sound like it's true, but I'll share it with you anyway, that there is a finite amount of cassette tape, of magnetic tape, because of limited manufacturing. Is that true at all? Or is there, you can continue making magnetic tape as much as you want?
As long as we have, let's say, the key raw material, like the pigment and some of the ingredients we are using in our chemical formula, I mean, we don't have any limitation. Actually, our tool is very, very capacitive. I mean, we could not only double, but, I mean, triple every year if we need to. Our capacity is ready for that. That is not an issue. About raw material, we use, of course, very, very specific pigments that allows us to have the best in-class performance for the sound. This, of course, is a must-have, and we need to make sure that we keep having these pigments as well.
Okay, all right. So there isn't a shortage. You can make as much as you want. It's
as much as many as you want. Yes.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, so how durable are cassettes? If I found a box of tapes at my parents' house from 1980, could I just pop it in a player today? Is there anything that I need to do to prepare it for being played for the first time in 4 or 5 decades?
I mean, the player itself need to be, of course, clean and maybe refurbished, because if this is my own experience, if you take a player that has not been used for many years, I mean, even in good storage conditions, you may end up with a little bit to change, some electronics that need to be cleaned and repaired to have. But most of the time, you clean the heads, you demagnetize the heads, and it's good to go. About the tape itself, we have, like I said before, I mean, we have a long history and long experience in what is the lifetime of this media. I mean, 40 years in normal conditions, you have still a good tape. You have still a good sound on your tape.
Okay. So if I find a tape hasn't been played since the 80s, as long as my player is good and kept up to date, it should be able to play no problem.
It should be able to play. If you have a good tape, if you have a good record, it should be even you will be surprised about the sound quality.
Right. Okay. Now, I understand it from a vinyl, how a piece of vinyl where it's, it's actually in the grooves. The tape is, the audio is clung to the tape, simply put, through magnetics. Yeah. And over years, that can wear away. What is the common mistake that people make in caring for cassettes that we should avoid?
Oh, I think the common mistake is the storage conditions. I mean, the way you store it, usually it's in carton box, in a place where you have probably too much humidity. So humidity is a problem, and right. It can deteriorate the tapes itself. It can generate, start to see some defects, agglomerate some defects on the tapes itself. Yeah.
Okay. How about the parts within a cassette? Because I know there are some things that spin around. I don't know the name of them. Are those, do those wear down at all over time?
Yeah, they will wear down, but not so much. Here again, it may sound simple, the shell and all these 20, I think 25 more parts inside this cassette are tricky. It can ruin the whole cassette. You can have the best tape in the world. If you don't have the right shell with all these mechanical parts right, it can be a problem. So we are very with our cassette, because you may know we sell also our blank cassette and recorded cassette now recently. This is with an extreme care on the shell and the parts that you are talking about.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so now I imagine the parts of the cassette tapes that RTM are making are built to last for a very long time. In the 80s, I imagine that they weren't built with much thought that they would last more than 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how has it changed then? Like, what do you do differently with the parts of modern tapes that maybe the manufacturers didn't do in the 80s?
I think the main difference is to find the right supplier, because there are not so many around. So we are very, very selective with our partners we are working with. Like we don't do ourselves the shell, and the mechanical part. So once you have your partner, then we are, of course, more picky on consistency, quality, making sure that with the volume we have really a good product, always a good product. Like I said before, it's no longer a mass market, so every single piece has to be perfect.
Right. Recording the Masters has been in business for not quite 10 years, right?
Yeah.
In the decades before that, between 1980 and say 2010, were many companies making new cassette tapes or equipment?
There were still major players, but not many. No. I think the decline has started like 20 years ago.
Yeah. And were they just using old stock? Like if they found, tapes that were made in 1990 still being sold in 2005?
Exactly, new old stock. I mean, think about it, 100 million cassettes per month, then you end up with a big, big stock. I mean, that stock has now depleted, and we see more and more people coming to us to buy new, fresh tapes. But there are still new old stock around, less and less.
Right. And now you have the new tapes that your company is making that are built to a higher quality, as I understand.
Yes. Okay. Type 1, ferrotype, but to the highest quality possible. I mean, at least we do our best.
Right. Now, back in the day, there were what I considered good cassette tapes to buy, like the Maxells or Memorex. TDK was always very popular. Then there were the perceived, the lower quality ones, the ones you'd buy at Radio Shack or cheap stores or things like that.
Yes.
What was the difference between those two?
I think this was the tape manufacturing itself, and then the way they selected the shell, the way they manufacture the whole this, what the level of quality. But you mentioned TDK, Maxell and some others. We are actually the old BASF guys, if you may. So BASF also was also on the top. We did several years ago, three years ago, a benchmark against those brand, and we did it not ourselves. We did it with a Japanese lab, and actually the result was not a surprise for us, but a confirmation that we are at the highest level compared to this old top-notch cassette tape.
Right. Look, I have no doubt the tapes that you're making right now are using technology to your advantage. And if I just Google or look at some videos about recording the masters, they're almost universally saying that these are the best tapes. I'm very interested to see though the old tapes, the cheap tapes. Was it a bad formula? How many companies were making magnetic tape at that point?
You mean before?
Yes.
Before, I think there was 100.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but now we are less than 5.
Right. I remember using cassettes. Like I went from records to pretty much compact discs. Cassettes here and there. I enjoyed cassettes, but it wasn't my format. And one of the things that always confused me was all the various types. There was multiple Dolbies. There were some different noise reductions. There was metal tapes, chromium dioxide, ferric oxide. It seemed to fragment, and I was never sure whether my player was built right for all these different tapes. What were those variations important? Did they matter in the end?
For some people, yes, it mattered at that time. And that you're right. I mean, there was 4 types. I mean, one of them, the ferrochrome, was not a success commercially, but all kinds of combination. And then it made these tape players very sophisticated and very, sometimes very difficult to use. Today, what we encourage the people to use the type 1, the ferrotape. That's what we are looking at. Only one type. Because that's, as I said before, this is the daughter of the pro tapes, which are ferro only. If you, we rather prefer to have the best in class ferro than trying to mix all these types and formats and not be, as I said before, high quality and high consistency of the volume you produce. So we stick to ferro. We do our best to make the best ferro. And we don't encourage so much to use Dolby noise reduction and so on. I mean, you just, if your tape, if your record is good, then you don't need all these improvements. It's already very good.
Right. Now, let's go back a little bit. The history of the cassette tape, the compact cassette, it goes back to the 50s. Is that right? Yeah. What was the original vision for how the compact cassette would be used?
We'll be back after these messages.
Hey everyone, I'm here to talk to you about Seems Easy record sleeve repair strips. Ever find a record in a used bin where the vinyl is gorgeous, but the sleeve has this ugly split and is even falling completely apart? Well, that's okay, grab it anyway, because with Seems Easy record sleeve repair strips, you can fix that right up. Seems Easy record repair strips repair seam splits from the inside, so it doesn't affect the appearance of a record sleeve, but it does make it functional again. With Seems Easy, records can now slide in and out like new. Turn a $5 used record into a $50 functioning collectible. Just ask your local record shop for Seems Easy strips, and if they're not in stock, go to seamseasy.com. That's Seems Easy with two Z's. Seems Easy record sleeve repair strips. Seems easy because it is. Oh, and hey, record nerds, don't forget to clean your records with the very best and safest record cleaner, the Groove Washer. Make your records look and sound their very best and store them with confidence using the new Groove Washer Groove Guard record sleeves. You gotta try this out. It makes a huge difference to the quality of your vinyl experience. Ask for the Groove Washer by name at your local record store and accept no substitutes. Or head over to groovewasher.com and use discount code VINYLGUIDE10.
All hail the Groove Washer.
That's groovewasher.com, discount code VINYLGUIDE10.
Now we return to the program, already in progress.
No limits. What was the original vision for how the compact cassette would be used?
I mean, this compact cassette was invented by Lou Hortense from Philips in 63. And if you remember, the Walkman from Sony came only in 79, 16 years after. So there was a whole road. It has taken a lot of time from, let's say, the professional record in the 50s, like you said, and the 60s, it started to grow and be more the tool for radio stations to prepare their show, and then the compact cassette came early 60s, 63, but it took another 10 years before it became really popular, and before you find several manufacturers like Sony, TDK, Maxell, and so on. I mean, this all started really in the 70s for the compact cassette, and then in the 80s the CD came.
Right. So it sounds like the big moment for cassettes was the Walkman. That's the thing that really launched them from, I'll say, a hobby status to mainstream. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's very fair to say, yes. That was the main, the mass market was really in the 80s and in the 90s for the cassette. And the CD. This CD started, was invented in the early 80s, but it really started to replace the cassette only at the end of the 90s, early 2000.
Was there ever a format war or format change for the cassettes? Like, for example, 8-tracks, I know they started off as 4-tracks. Yeah. So was there ever a different format for cassettes, or the ones you're making now are pretty much the same design and spec as the ones when it was originally envisioned?
Exactly the same spec, so no change. Wow. And that is what makes this format very interesting, because you have still many, many tape players around, old, but around many, many.
Are there any manufacturers right now making new tape players?
I mean, we are making our new, we have made a simple Walkman, just to support the revival of the cassette. But tape players, I mean, a new one, I think TIAC in Japan may have one or two models, but not so many today.
Okay.
You know, it's like the vinyl disc industry. I mean, remember, like 10 years ago, there was not so many vinyl player at that time. But now it's very popular. The vinyl is back for several years now. And you find in any shop lots of different vinyl player.
Yeah, the one thing that vinyl had that I'm not sure cassettes had a similar thing was DJs. DJs kept vinyl alive. They kept the pressing plants going. They kept techniques, continued making record players for years and years. So you still had at least a little bubble along of manufacturing. Yeah. Did cassettes have anything like that that helped?
Yes. In fact, not with DJs, but with home studios. I mean, all those people that record their own music, and it's a small group of music. Many, many of them still use the cassette as a way to record and to mix and to,
Got it. Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense. So the design of the cassette has pretty much been the same. The formula has evolved a bit. Any difference within a cassette that we would buy today and a cassette that we would have bought 40 years ago? It's the exact same one, yeah?
Yeah, exactly the same one.
So what's the expected lifespan of a cassette? If it's cared for, you know, if it's not a museum piece and it's not banged around, like, could you expect a cassette to last 50, 60 years?
Yes, 40 years at least.
Okay.
That's our experience, our history records. And it could last, yes, 50, 60 years if they are maintained in good storage conditions and if you take care of them, yes.
Now, I heard a study on vinyl record purchasers in recent years, in the last two or three years, that almost 50% of people who were buying vinyl records were not even playing them. They were buying them because they liked the physical item. They wanted to support the artist. It was a bit of a niche thing for them, but many of them didn't even have record players to be able to play. I imagine the same is probably with cassettes, maybe even more pronounced. People buying the cassette with no means of being able to listen to it.
Yeah, that's maybe about, maybe. It's a different, different position. I mean, the cassette will not really compete against vinyl. Vinyl is the new hi-fi choice for me. The people that wants to listen to music and in a different way they use vinyl. Cassette is a cool, very cool format that people like to offer to like you said to go on the road to do your own mixtape. It's a kind of merchandising tool. If you go to a concert, you start to see at the end of the concert CD and more cassette.
Yes.
As well. So it's just starting not in France. I mean, it's coming maybe next year, but in other countries it has started already. And big artists have even released their new album on cassette with the cassette format.
That's right. I bought these at a gig. So they're neat to have, and they're a good way to support the artist. I get it. But again, I don't have a player for them. It was something just shy of charity. me purchasing the cassette, and maybe I'll do something with it. And some cassettes are getting quite collectible. I'm sure you've heard of the prices of many cassettes going, you know, extraordinarily high, thousands of dollars for these collectible cassettes. What is the greatest challenge to the cassette industry at the moment? What's the thing that, from the guy who's running Recording the Masters, what's the thing that keeps you awake?
I mean, the music has to be recorded. So to have a good music, you need a good tape. And what keeps us awake is to, like I said, to give for any cassette we deliver the best quality. And then of course we are looking for developing this this reemergence of the market, with approaching more and more through our duplication partners or ourselves, small labels, small artists, because many of them already come to us to see us and to see how we can help them in releasing in small quantities their new album. So that keeps us awake to make sure that we can offer them the complete technical, good technical environment, to good technical support to achieve what they want to do.
Yeah, but those are things that you can kind of control. Those are the sort of things that you could modify your business model a bit with. I mean, supply, any sort of plastic. Is it difficult to get the shells out of wherever they're manufactured? I assume they're probably manufactured in Asia, so the supply chain issues of the last few years have probably played heavy, yeah?
Well, actually, they are not. They are supplied in Europe.
Oh, okay. There you go. So not so much of a problem. The cassette industry, I imagine, has thrived a bit with the backlog of vinyl pressing plants. Would that be right? So they can't get their records pressed for a year, so they focus more energy on cassette manufacturing.
This is very true. I mean, we see more and more people coming to us because they cannot have any vinyl release, vinyl disc pressed. Mm-hmm. within months, within, I think some of them told us, they have to wait up to 9 months before getting their vinyl pressed. So they come to us to have an alternative format. And the cassette, everything we do recorded can be delivered in less than 2 weeks today.
Wow. What's the largest cassette run you've done in the last few years?
You mean in... I mean, the larger run is, of course, our Blanc tapes. No. But for published cassette, the largest one today is with what we did with Think Indie in the US. You know, they have behind a group of record stores. Mm-hmm. And we have manufactured for them today more than 20,000.
Wow. Okay. And that's something you can do, maybe not in 2 weeks, but you could do it in a couple of months, that level of
quantity? Yes. It's okay. We don't have really limit in the way we can produce, but we can deliver at least 1,000 pieces every week without any issue. Published cassette.
Now we're seeing cassettes rise, becoming more and more in demand. Are you seeing a similar rise in things like reel-to-reel tape or 2-inch recording tape?
Not a similar rise. I mean, a rise. Today, if I look at our numbers, it's more like a 20% rise every year, whereas on the cassette tapes, it's 100%. It doubled every year. Over the last 3 years, we doubled. So it's still very small compared to the reel-to-reel, but it's growing up, and we believe there is a nice future for this format.
Because I'm seeing companies like Analog Sounds starting to offer reel-to-reel tapes. So, I mean, it seems like everything that was old is new again. So do you have anything to do with, say, VHS tape? Do you manufacture that as well?
No, we just do sound. No image, no picture. So, no, we don't produce any VHS.
Got it. Okay. All right. Look, Jean-Luc, I got to say, I really appreciate you taking the time to share about cassettes. The revisitation of the cassette format is something that admittedly caught me very much off guard. To me, the benefit of a cassette was always its portability, and it had a good sound quality, right? But mainly it being portable, the allure of a vinyl record, you could get some great audiophile quality vinyl records, and then you have the big pictures, but it can be clumsy. I know that. But with a cassette, all the benefits of a cassette, I always assumed were going to be absorbed by compact discs and cassettes would be forgotten. So I'm very, I guess, delighted to see that cassettes are having another day in the sun.
Okay, me too. Yeah. Thank you very much, Ned.
So I'm in Australia. You're in beautiful France. We've got friends that are listening to this in the United States. When it comes time for these tapes, the Alanis Morissette, the My Morning Jacket, the Giovanni and the Hired Guns, those tapes, are they all manufactured in one location, or do you have partners that manufacture some in Australia, some in the United States?
We have partners. I mean, we have partners, and actually, even if you come to us, we will partner with one of the customer. We have duplication companies, which we know they buy our tapes, which we know them for long, that they'll deliver also good quality. If you are in Australia, if you are in USA, we are not going to manufacture here from France. Let's say we will encourage and see with our partner how to do it. In Australia, in your case.
Okay, let's spend a moment talking about this new portable cassette player. Because I understand now, recording the masters has always been around about magnetic tape, but now this is a piece of equipment. Is this the first piece of equipment that RTM has created, or was there more prior?
I mean, this was not, I mean, a first piece, because we are also building all the machines for our quality control ourselves. But yes, it was obvious. I mean, I'm an old development engineer, and actually with two other guys based in Singapore, we developed our own Walkman. Taking a mechanical chassis in China, and developing the whole electronics so that, let's say, the sound is acceptable to us, at least, with a very reasonable price. It's not the top-notch Walkman, but it's something you can use and use for playing back your cassette. I know there is another company that is now up to release a new cassette player. So this will be very, I mean, coming very soon as well. So I'm always pleased to see that people are also looking for more and new cassette tape players.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to have to get one. All right. Well, thanks again, Jean-Luc, for sharing with us the history of cassette tapes and what looks like a pretty nice future for cassette tapes as well. It's delightful seeing those cassettes again, because I remember poring through the J cards and trying to squint to read the lyrics of the songs. And it brings back a lot of good memories. So it's nice to see them back on the shelves. I do want to remind folks that this record store day, Black Friday, there are more cassettes that are being made available. Three of them that I know of: Alanis Morissette's, her latest release, Such Pretty Forks in the Road. There's going to be a release, I think it's the early 2000s, maybe 2000, My Morning Jacket's much beloved holiday offering. My Morning Jacket does Christmas Fiasco style. So that's something you want before the holidays. And then there is Giovanni and the Hired Guns' Bad Habits, all available on cassette, record store day. Grab them before they're gone. When's cassette store day, Jean-Luc?
I think it's in the end of October.
Okay, that's your Christmas. That's your
end of November.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Well, again, thank you very much for spending time with us here on The Vinyl Guy, Jean-Luc.
My pleasure. Bye.
Excellent. All right, that was fun. That was fascinating. I learned quite a bit. Hope you did too. Maybe you'll even grab some of those cassettes on Record Store Day Black Friday. They're always kind of fun. Now I'm searching for a cassette player in the used shops here, so hopefully I'll come up with one of those soon. All right, that's it for this episode of The Vinyl Guy. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please share these episodes on your social media. Share them on Facebook, tweet them out on Twitter, share some images on Instagram, or do a TikTok dance, whatever you got to do. That's always appreciated. Leave us a positive review. That's huge for us. Log on and give us 5 out of 5 or 10 out of 10 stars. That's always super helpful. And we'll be back shortly with a brand new episode. So until we talk next time, get out there and buy some records or cassette tapes, people. Cheers.
That's it for this episode of The Vinyl Guide. Send your thoughts to Nate@thevinylguide.com or follow or tag us on Instagram @vinylguide. Until next time, keep spinning.